Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you this day, Lord, acknowledging that without you, we're lost. Without you, we have no hope. Without you, we have no future. Without you, we can't even find peace in this life. But God, because of what you did at the cross and through the empty tomb that, Father, you offer for us, not a way, but, Father, the way to find your forgiveness, to find life, to find peace, to find joy, to find your presence. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And I pray, God, as we spend some time today looking at your word, that you would speak to us individually. Father, let your Holy Spirit speak within us who follow you and help us to apply these words, Father, to our lives in such a way that honor you. And Father, we pray for those who are maybe here today that have never met you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them today from the outside into their hearts and call them into an intimate relationship with you, filled with your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we come to the last message in this four-week series. We started the first of the year by looking at the truth that we can rejoice in God because he is alone worthy of our worship. Then we looked at the truth that God is faithful, that regardless of what you're facing, regardless of the circumstance you're in, regardless of the moment you're in, or even regardless of the choices you've made in life, God is there. And he stays with us, and he is faithful to the end. Last week, we talked about God's graciousness and how he is gracious to us when we were dead in sin and trespasses. He said, I love you, and I want you to walk with me. Today, I want to talk to you from Romans chapter 5 about the forgiveness of God. As we were putting together messages and Lord's Supper occurrences this year, this is an intentional tie-in together because we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about the forgiveness that Christ gives us because of the broken body and the shed blood. And so when we look at this letter, what we find is that Paul is writing a letter to a church that he's never visited. He is eventually going to be there, but he hasn't gotten there yet. And so he writes them this letter to say, this is who I am. This is what we believe. This is what we're about. And when we get to chapter 5, what we find is a conversation he has with them about forgiveness. He wants them to understand the great forgiveness of God and what he has done in our lives that causes followers of Jesus to be radically different from the world around them. So let's read the passage in its entirety, and I'm getting a lot of monitor on my mic that I'm not used to, so if we could take that out, thank you. Romans chapter 5 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice, and we rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Father, we pray that we would understand these words as we spend some time in them. Father, speak to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's what I want you to see. First of all, his forgiveness imparts peace. How many of you like peace? Yeah, I like peace. I'm not one. Maybe it's because I'm the middle child and I have two sisters, but I never liked conflict. Probably because I never won, you know what I'm saying? Those conflicts, because being the middle kid and the only boy, it wasn't a good place to be. But my personality is such, I don't like arguments. I don't like conflicts. I don't like those things. And so when I read this passage, I go, yeah, we get peace. Look at this. Therefore, since we've been what? Justified by faith. And he's talking to those of us who are followers of Jesus. He says we, another way to translate is let us, depends on the translation you have, which one it says, both of them are okay. We have what? Peace with God. Through who? Through Christ. So here's what I want you to see. In one sense, Paul is making a summary statement of everything he's talked about for four chapters. He's bringing into this grand summary statement. He says, therefore, here it is. All these previous discussions about God's grace, about his offer of redemption, all of the things we've talked about up to this point, the amazing reality of forgiveness is a real and reality in our lives. They need to understand what they have now. Therefore, since we have what? Been justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with who? Peace with God. They needed to grasp this reality. See, the first aspect I want you to see this morning is this, of this new reality, is because we've been justified, because they've been justified, they're at peace with God. Now, you're going, aren't we always at peace with God? Oh, no. We're born with what the old King James translated as enmity between us and God. That's that battle between us and God. It's those argument between us and God. We're separated from God when we're born. And if our relationship with God never changes through the faith in Christ, that's where we stay. So the reality is you and I are trapped when we're born in this reality of non-peace, of a battle. But if you're in Christ, what do you get first of all? Peace. I don't know about you, being at peace with God is a good thing. It's a really good thing for us to find. And so the problem is, though we're separated from God, we don't have to remain there. Now, over in Job, we read about this reality when we read these words. Job's 22:21 says this. He says, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby God will, our good will come to you. Receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. And so this counsel that Job was getting in the midst of his battle, his struggle, was this. Man, things are hard right now. Things are tough right now. Things are not good right now. You want to find the path forward? Don't fix it. Agree with God. You think about Job's life. Why did he go through what he went through? God allowed it to happen, one. And God was using it to what? Bring about something better in his life. But the only way he was going to find that was what? To agree with God. That's the case I want you to see. If we want to be people who are living in his forgiveness, we have to learn to agree with God, to choose to follow him, to let him be the one who brings that peace. Forgiveness imparts peace. Number two, his forgiveness provides us access. Look at verse 2. Through him, what? We have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we, or let us, rejoice, or boast, if you want, in hope of the glory of God. Now, what are we talking about here? The second thing that followers of Jesus at Rome needed to grasp and to understand is that because they've answered the call to follow Jesus, they've been given an incredible gift. If you're here today and you've trusted Christ, you have been given an incredible gift. What is that gift? Access to God. Well, you mean everyone doesn't have access to God? No. Well, I hear God will answer anyone's prayer. Well, God will answer the prayer of the unrighteous as they're calling out for salvation. For the believer, he hears our prayers and he always answers them. Sometimes it's a what? Yes. Sometimes it's a no. And sometimes it's a not now. I don't like those. But he answers our prayers as believers. So here's what I want you to grasp. Because of his forgiveness, we now have access to God. It was a huge deal to the Roman believers. It's a huge deal to us. You and I have access to God because of this. Now, what's happening at the moment, it happens at the moment of conversion, is really amazing. For a person who didn't have access to God, didn't have access to the throne of God, didn't have access to the presence of God, when we turn in faith to Christ, now we have what? Access. Is access a big deal? Absolutely, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. In their day, like ours, the prevailing belief is anybody can do it, but that's not the reality. The reality is this: the door is open to all people for salvation prayer, but it's only open to all of those of us who know Christ for ongoing conversation and relationship. Until you come into a relationship with God, you don't have ongoing access to God. He's always there. He's always waiting. He's always listening. He's ready. If you have to obtain, notice this, the idea. Look at the text again. Through him we have what? This is an important word. Obtained. What does obtained mean? It means you got it, right? What was your condition before you got it? You didn't have it, okay? If you already had it, you don't have to obtain it. So what he's saying is, this is something you have to get. And if you're in Christ, you got it. What I want you to see is that the believers at Rome needed to get the big idea that the gate is open now. Because of their relationship, because of his forgiveness, they now have access to God. Look at Psalm 65:4. He says this, "Blessed is the one you choose and bring near, O God, to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple." What he's talking about is this idea of coming into the presence of God now that we have received forgiveness. Now that we have his presence, we have access, we have intimacy, we have communion, we have fellowship, we have a thousand other things. But ultimately, the concept of having access is a big deal, because as we've been covered in the blood of Christ, we now can be able to come into the presence of God. Second, forgiveness imparts access. Third, forgiveness also produces hope. Look at verse 3 and 4. Not only that, but what? We rejoice in our sufferings. Now, can I just stop right there and ask you a question? How many of you rejoice in suffering? Oh, suffering's coming. I'm so looking forward to that. I'm excited about that. Woo! Yeah, let's be blunt. Let's be honest. Nobody gets excited about suffering, right? Okay. But he's not talking about your ordinary suffering. He's talking about this development of hope in you. Catch this. Not only that, but we what? We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that what? Suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces what? Hope. You like hope? I'm not talking about the watermelon. I'm talking about the reality. Do you like hope? Without hope, it's awfully hard to get up in the morning, isn't it? Without hope, it's hard to try to raise a family in this day and age. Without hope, it's hard to get up and go to work sometimes, isn't it? Without hope, you go, what in the world am I here for? But in Christ, his forgiveness gives us what? It produces in us hope. So Jesus' forgiveness goes beyond peace and access to hope. Catch the thought that Paul shares here. For it's the one that has the potential to transform the life of not only a follower at Rome, but a follower right here in New Boston. You see, as we have this relationship with Jesus, we find that life develops differently. Instead of living with this sense of sadness and this sense of melancholy, now we get to live with what? Look at the first part of the verse. With rejoicing. So what does that mean? When hard times come, as a follower of Jesus, as one who's received his forgiveness, what can you do in that moment? You can default to the old way and do what? Gripe and complain and all that. Or you can live the new reality, the new plane of Christ, as we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, and do what? Rejoice. So you're going, you're nuts. When things get hard, I don't want to rejoice. I want to fix the problem so I don't have problems. Listen, God allows problems in our lives. Think of Job for a great example. God allowed problems in Job's life, and I guarantee you, none of us have had the experience of Job, okay? God used the experience of Job to do what in his life? To produce hope. You go, how do I know that? God allowed the sufferings in his life. What happened through the sufferings of his life? He endured suffering, produces what? Endurance. And the endurance then produced what? Character. And the character then produces what? Hope. You know, he gives us these things in life called suffering. He allows them in our lives. These things called suffering for a purpose. We think, well, if God really loved me, he would make my life perfect and easy. Can I tell you something? If your life was perfect and easy, you would really never produce hope in your life because it would just be easy. He says, I got something better. I got a pathway for you. This pathway leads not to despair, but to endurance. And that endurance leads to what? Character. And that character brings us to hope. And you're going, yeah. I don't know if you know this, the old preacher Vance Havner or not. He was early last century. Vance Havner, he's got some great old quotes. I love to read his stuff because it's just kind of fun. But he shares the story of a community, I believe it was in Georgia, where they had produced cotton for years. And they had become wealthy with cotton, done real well with cotton. And one day, a little insect showed up called a boll weevil. I don't know what a boll weevil looks like, but I do know enough to know that they're very destructive to cotton. So this little community went from being very well off with all the cotton to struggling because their crops failed. So they decided they would try something different. And that was a hard thing to do, isn't it? If you're used to making one thing, to turn around and plant something else and do something different with your life, it's hard sometimes, right? But here's what they did. They decided to try this plant called peanuts. Some of you like peanuts. Some of you like peanut butter. But some of you like peanuts, okay? Roasted, boiled, in the shell, not in the shell. It doesn't matter. You know, some people just love peanuts. Anyway, they started growing peanuts. You know the story. The shift made it possible for this community not only to survive, but to thrive. Supposedly, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I like the story, they erected a statue in their community to the boll weevil. You're thinking, why? Because it brought them actually wealth and success. Forgiveness of God produces hope through the sufferings, through the endurance, through the character, and ultimately to hope. And then one more thing I want you to see Paul talked about in verse 5 about forgiveness. It floods hope. And I really struggle with how to phrase this because there's a whole long sentence that could go here, but I try to keep it concise, at least try to anyway. Look at verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame. Is hope a good thing? Yes. Hope doesn't put us to shame because, look at this, God's love has been what? And this is a very graphic, visual word that's used in the original. Poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So peace is imparted, access provided, hope's produced. The outcome really shouldn't be surprising to us. The outcome of forgiveness is love. A flooding love. You know what a flooding love is? I want you to see this because this is amazing. The outcome of hope is not shame. The outcome of hope is a flood. You remember a few years ago, there was a tsunami in Japan, and they videoed the after effects, which is just fascinating to me that we've come to a place in our life where we can video the destruction of communities, though we couldn't stop it. You remember the video of that Japanese coastal plain, the water just crawling across crawling, probably not the right word, flooding across that plain. There was not a thing anyone could do to stop it. It was tragic. There were lives lost in the moment. I don't want you to focus on that. What I want you to see is the idea of that flood coming in and completely and totally inundating that coastal plain. You remember the visual? You got it in your mind? That's what God wants to do in your life with his love. He wants it to flood into your whole, into your soul. He wants it to flood into your existence, to fill every nook and cranny, to take away the old, to make a whole new place. If it means taking out the old destructive stuff, he'll do it. If it means building something new in its place, he'll do it. What I want you to get is this idea. The visual he has is of that tsunami flood, of a raging river coming down, taking everything out, filling everything in its place. That's the visual he has for us here. Hope doesn't put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been flooded in our hearts. I don't know about you. Have you ever tried to contain a flood? You can't do it, right? If it's going to come racing down onto you, what's going to happen? You're going to get wet. That's the love that he has for us. That's the love that he wants to fill in us as we receive his forgiveness. That it's a flooding love that takes over and blows through us. The psalmist described it this way, Psalm 139. He says, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. That's kind of, I've never been in a flood, but I can imagine that's what you'd feel like. Hemmed in, right? Covered up. I was reading about avalanches up in the high country in Colorado this week. They've already had 7 deaths this season from avalanches. Avalanche is another visual you could take here and use. We don't have snow around here, so we don't get that idea, but you get the visual, right? It's this idea of something covering you, completely encasing you, wrapping around you, hanging on to you. That's what happens when we have his forgiveness, we have love. 3 things I want you to see, and I'll be done. Number one, forgiven people experience peace. You mean I never have any conflict, no trials, no struggles, no difficulties? I didn't say that, did I? I said you experience peace. This is a radical new way of life available to us, that no matter what comes our way, whether it's a flood, not of our own making, whether it's a mess attacking our lives, whether it's health issues we're facing, family problems we're dealing with, conflict in our family or our community or in our country or wherever, that in regardless of what is going on around us, because of Christ's presence, we can live with peace. You may not be familiar with a guy named Dr. Nicholas Ridley. Dr. Ridley lived in 1555. Yes, I'm going to go obscure and old school today, so bear with me for just a moment. Dr. Ridley lived during the time of after King Henry VIII was a son who was a child, was a king named James. James died, and then his sister became queen. She was Mary. She was called Bloody Mary for a reason, because of all the people she killed. She was Catholic, and she says, we're going to take the country back to its Catholic roots. Dr. Ridley, however, was part of the Church of England that King Henry VIII had established, which made him a heretic, of course, because he wasn't like us. And he was found himself on the wrong end of the religion scale at the time. I'll just tell you, that's kind of what happened. And he was sentenced to execution because of his witness for Christ. And his brother came alongside Dr. Ridley and says, brother, I know tomorrow is the day you're going to be executed, so I'll stay here with you tonight, and we can visit tonight, and we can talk about life, and we can talk about all the things. I just want to encourage you. Nicholas Ridley said, no, thank you. I intend, God willing, to go to bed and sleep as quietly tonight as I ever did. Now let that sink in. Tomorrow he's going to be executed. He was going to be burned at the stake. Oh, by the way, his burning at the stake didn't go well. reportedly, he really only burned halfway before he died. I mean, it was awful, okay? But he knew this, that the peace of God could carry him through whatever came his way. Listen, that's what I want you to hear. You don't know what's coming next. Some of you are thinking, I can't handle anything else than what I got right now. No matter what's coming your way, if you're a follower of Christ, you've been forgiven by him, you can experience peace in the midst of it. Second, forgiven people also do this. They find hope evident. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars." That's a great thing, isn't it? You know, one of the things I love about living in a little more rural community is that I can go out at night and, you know, I can look up and see stars. Isn't that just amazing? I've lived in big cities. In big cities, you look up and you see nothing. Everything gets washed out. You might see a couple bright stars, but nothing major. But what I want you to catch is this, that in Christ, God knows the big picture. Christ knows the big picture. And no matter what dark night you're in, there's hope. Why? Because Christ is still there. There's a difference between people forgiven by God and by those who are choosing their own pathway. And those of us who've experienced God, we know what? That there's hope. Every one of us who are followers of Jesus, we've been through hard times in life, right? We've gone through struggles in life. And the testimony again and again and again of followers of Jesus is this: if it wasn't for the Lord and the fellow believers in Christ around me, what? I couldn't have handled it. That's our hope. Christ is our hope. Christ in you is my hope. Christ in us is our hope. And so instead of living with this hopelessness, we get to experience his presence. One more thought. We'll be done, and my voice will probably be done too, which will be all right. Forgiven people are flooded with love. Flooded with love. Oh, catch this, dear church. If you have really, truly experienced the forgiveness of God, this is what's in your heart: the love of Christ. Please let that sink in. This new reality that we find ourselves in radically changes the way we view other people, the way we view their choices, the way we view life. And instead of seeing others as obstacles or as objects of pity or even a nuisance, the forgiveness of God in life allows us to be filled with his love, for it to flood in us. You see, when Jesus set up residence in your heart, here's what happened. He brought his presence to bear in your life. He is with you all the time. And he is there to fill you with his presence and his grace. And he set up this residence to transform you. And so, just like a natural flood flows through the natural environment, changing everything in its path, so too does the forgiveness of God. It infiltrates you and infuses you with every aspect of your life and changes you. What Jesus did at the cross was purchase for those who would receive him forgiveness. So let me ask you this today as we finish up. Have you accepted the forgiveness of Jesus? Have you met Christ? Is there a moment when you said to the Lord Jesus, "Yes, Lord, yes"? See, our God is in the business of what? Forgiveness. He forgives us because of his love. Praise God that he provides the forgiveness that we need. Now we have to receive it. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to come together today. And Father, I pray for those in this place who have some type of decision they need to make. My prayer is, God, you would bless them with the faith to trust you first. Bless them with the courage to take the public stand that they they need, Father, to make it, nail it down. And Father, I pray that you would allow us to experience your forgiveness, not just a Sunday thing, but Father, something that applies to our lives all the time and transforms our every waking moment. We pray for those who need to make some type of decision this moment. We pray that you give them the steps they need to. In Jesus' name we pray.